Welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday afternoon at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. And our Bible study on Wednesday nights, I've been enjoying them so much. We've been able to take opportunity to go through so many different aspects of what it means to be a Christian. We've been taking a look at a lot of how the things that are happening in our world today have been so evident throughout the Bible. The Bible's been telling us for years and years about a lot of the things that are happening in our world today. And I'll tell you, folks, I believe the time is drawing. One morning, one evening, we don't know exactly, but we'll hear that trumpet sound, and we'll know that'll be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look forward to that day. And you know, that day may not be the same for all of us. I may hear that trumpet as I lay down to sleep tonight. God calls my name, I must answer. But until that day, I look forward to what God's doing in this world. And I want to be able to share with you, and I want you to be able to meet folks here at Rowlett's. And I'll tell you, we've just got there's just blessing upon blessing being poured out, because we have found that if we accept one another and we love one another unconditionally, then great things can happen, even in a flawed world, even in a flawed congregation. You won't find one perfect person out here, even though my friend Sandra Meredith likes to argue that, but even she's not perfect. You won't find one perfect person, and you know what? Everybody's okay with that, and that's so important for us to understand today, that we must have love. We must have love for one another. A lot of birthdays in the church over this next week or so. Today, Thursday the 12th, is Mr. Adam Metter's birthday. Friday the 13th, Miss Katie Harris is having a birthday. Saturday the 14th, Amber Fancher and Jeremy Luchek both having a birthday. Tuesday the 17th, Miss Sherry Metter. Wednesday the 18th, Kathy Devine, Amanda Sticker. All those folks are having big birthdays this week. And I want to thank God for each and every one of those folks. I want to thank God for a fellowship of believers. Do you know, I've often said it, and I'll continue to say it, I have brothers and sisters in Christ that are all over this country, all over this world. There's nowhere on the map that you can't put your finger and find somewhere that Jesus wants to have another brother or sister come into the fold. There's not anywhere that you can go. If there's people there, Jesus wants to see them saved. The whole point of Christ coming to earth is that He might save mankind. I appreciate so much the way that other believers have ministered unto me. I look back over the course of my life, and there I see people that have had major impacts on my life because first and foremost, Christ had an impact on their life. And friend, listen, if you really want to impact somebody's life, you can't do it until you have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, at least not for the positive. Sure, there are a lot of negative things a person can do to make a mark on somebody else, but that's not truly our heart's desire. We want to be able to make a positive impact on people today. And the most positive impact we can make on people today is by sharing with them what Christ has done in our own lives. Yes, Christian, you heard me right. The most powerful thing God has given you is your testimony, your ability to be able to tell somebody else what happened to you in your own life, and then to live it out loud so that it's not only heard with the heart, but with the eyes and with the ears as well. And I thank God that I've had people in my own life that have impacted me, that have made a difference in my life because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to share with you one of the wonderful stories out of the book of Mark, out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And I'd like for us to look at verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. Now, I've always found myself drawn to the book of Mark. I've always found myself I don't understand why. I know it's an action sort of book, and he moves quickly from scene to scene. He moves quickly seeing what Jesus has done. The Gospel of Mark reveals Christ in action. Busy doing the will of the Father. No effort is wasted. No time is spent on frivolous things. The simple Gospel of Mark focuses on the most basic elements of how God demonstrated His love towards us in sending His Son to die as a sacrifice for humanity's sin. The Gospel of Mark brings us face to face with the good news message as quickly as possible and urges us as readers to waste no time in believing and joining Christ in His mission to bring salvation to others. And in Mark chapter 10, we see where He brought salvation to a blind man. I want to share these verses with you. Mark chapter 10, we begin verse 46. The Bible says, "Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' And then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Now, if you could, take just a few moments with me this morning and let's just try to visualize that surging mass of people. Try to visualize that great group of people who because of their long journey, were all hot and sweaty. It would have been hot during that time. It would have been a day when the sun was beating down upon their heads. The dust was clinging to them. You see, folks, they were weary. They were weary. And you, listen, as we look around our world today, do we not yet see people who are weary? I see people I pass by on the sidewalks, even in a small of a town as Horse Cave. And to look into their face, you see no joy. You see no hope. There are oftentimes we look in people's eyes and we just see a blank stare. We just see people who are going through the motions of life. They don't have any vitality about them. They don't have any true hope. They don't have anything that's urging them, compelling them to move on through these days of life. They were weary in that day, but Jesus, as they were following Him, at this time Jesus was at the height of His popularity, and the great crowd of people pressed close. They pressed in close to see Him. And oh, how the world today needs to follow that example. Oh, how the world today needs to press in close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, they were weary. And our world is weary. And to be honest with you, to be quite frank with you, there is only one place we will find true rest. And that's in the arms of the Holy Spirit. That's in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in the arms of God the Father. There, mankind can find rest. But you see, these people, this crowd that was following Jesus at times, they were jabbering along endlessly, asking questions, seeking favors. That this group could probably have been heard from a mile away. Loud, overwhelming the group that was following Christ. And there was Bartimaeus, sitting on the side of the road in a ditch. And no doubt he begins to hear the noise of this passing crowd. Now I'm sure he heard the people talking, saying things like, "Jesus is coming. The healer is coming. The one they've talked about that's made the lame to walk. The one they say can heal anything. The one they say performs miracles on a regular basis. He's coming this way." Imagine the hope that must have begun to spring up in Bartimaeus' heart. Imagine his excitement. "You mean Jesus of Nazareth? The one who can heal the sick and the blind? Oh, this is it. This may be my chance. Jesus may never come this way again." And so Bartimaeus does the one thing a man in his position can do. Despite what anyone thinks, regardless of what the consequences are, he cries out above the crowd, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And then the crowd, boy, what help the crowd is a lot of times. Have you ever noticed that? The crowd tries to shut him up. Oh, so often that people in the church come in and they're truly blind, they're truly hurting. And God reveals that to them and they cry out. And the church tries to get them to be quiet. Folks, do you know it's a crazy thing, but there are actually congregations in our nation today that if they were to experience a large amount of growth, a lot of them would begrudge it. A lot of people would say, well, the church is getting too big for its own good. There's too many strangers here. I don't know all these folks. They don't look the same as I look. They don't act the same as I act. What is it that's so different about them? Why are they hollering out? Why are they crying out? And listen, I just want to remind you that it's because they're blind. And when we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, though some of us that have been blind, like I was at one time, understand these chances don't come along too often. And friend, listen, if you've got a stranger, if you've got somebody new in your church, and they begin to cry out to Jesus, don't try to hush them up. Help them holler. Help them pray. Help them get in a place where God can use them. And remind them. I want to remind you, there was a time in your life when you were blind as well. And God gave you your sight. How joyous that day must have been. And for us to try to hush somebody up that's in that same position is pure hypocrisy. The crowd tried to shut Bartimaeus up. The Bible says the harder they tried to quieten him down, I like this, the harder they tried, brother, to quieten him down, the louder the louder he got. Don't you like that? I like a little perseverance, don't you? Friends, this old world will try to keep you quiet. The world will offer you all kinds of things to keep you from crying out to Jesus. Remember this, no self-help program, no psychic hotline, no human means will help the situations in our lives like calling out to Christ. The crowd tried to get Bartimaeus to be quiet. Everyone else thought that Jesus, too, would be busy. That He'd be too busy to deal with Bartimaeus. But the Bible says something amazing happened. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to overlook this. I've read through this so many times, and it only recently came to me that I understood exactly what happened. I want you to notice it says when he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In verse 49, it says something amazing, brother. It says, so Jesus stood still. Now, you might not think that's that amazing. You might not think that's that grand. But I do, and here's why. Folks, this was not the president. It was not a governor. It was not a pro athlete or a big movie star. This was just a blind man sitting in the ditch line. And the God of this universe stood still. The Creator of all things, the Alpha and Omega, the most powerful entity that the world has ever known, that has always been, that shall always be, stood still for a blind man sitting in the ditch. Do you know that the only reason we can really call on God is because of His mercy? Mercy is simply withheld judgment. You and I are here this morning not because we have lived well enough to be here, but we are here due to God's mercy. One of the oldest excuses in the book is that people don't attend church because there are hypocrites in the church. Now, when I hear that, I realize quickly that I'm speaking to a person who do not realize what church really is. A lot of people don't realize that we are not here because we feel that we are righteous, but we are here because we realize that we have no righteousness of our own. We realize that Jesus stood still and looked into our sad state. Not just anybody, it was Jesus, Lord of the universe, Creator of heaven and earth, God in the flesh, Jesus stood still. And you know that's just like our Master. When you check His record out, there's a thread that runs all through the Bible. Jesus is on His way to Jairus' house to see about a sick little girl, but a woman elbows her way through the crowd to touch the Savior, and Jesus stood still for her. On His way to the temple, He passes by a pool and sees a lame man. And Jesus stood still. No matter what state you find yourself in today, no matter how busy you think God may already be, for you, if you desire it today, Jesus will stand still and look to you. Let's take a few lessons from Bartimaeus. First of all, be persistent. Even though you may not be seeing instant results in your life, remember Bartimaeus cried out and Jesus called for him, and the same crowd that tried to shut him up had to stand there and watch him get blessed. Be persistent. Also, be prayerful. Folks, listen, good stuff happens when you pray. Solomon prayed and the temple was built. David prayed and the armies were defeated. Moses prayed and the seas parted. David prayed and the lions got lockjaw. Esther prayed and the Hebrews were spared. Nehemiah prayed and the walls were built. And God have mercy on us. 120 people got together in an upper room and they prayed, and all of a sudden there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind and flames leaping over their heads. Good stuff happens when people pray. How many needs go unmet in our lives because we failed to call upon the Lord? Too many. Good stuff happens when you pray. Now, I want you to finally see that we need to understand how Bartimaeus put aside his old things. Did you notice that? It says he threw aside his garment, threw aside his coat, and he rose and came to Jesus. Now, that old garment was probably just an old coat. I'm sure it had protected him, kept the sun off of him through the day, kept the cold off of him at night. But some reason the Bible mentions that he threw his garment aside. That coat in some kind of way was a hindering Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus realized it. And he said, I'm not going to let anything stop me from coming to Jesus. Now what is it that may be stopping you this morning? Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted him to do for him. That may seem like a crazy question to ask a blind man, but there are a ton of folks who come to church Sunday after Sunday who don't really want to see. Why? Because listen, once your eyes are open, you got to assume a new responsibility. Once your eyes are open, you got to get off the side of the road. Once your eyes are open, you've got to take a good look at where you are. Once your eyes are open, you got to get up out of the ditch. Bartimaeus asked that he received his sight. And that morning, Jesus is passing by. This morning, Jesus is passing by and he's asking, what do you want me to do for you? I'm so glad that one day Jesus stood still and asked me that question, and I asked him to give me my sight. Maybe today you may be that day you'll look back on years from now and realize that Jesus Christ stood still for you. And that he came to this earth as a man in the flesh in order to understand more about your life. I remember the story about a little boy. While he was out playing in the yard, he trampled over several big anthills. When he saw the distress that he'd caused those ants scurrying to and fro, he ran into his mother and he told her what had happened. She laughed and they told him to go out and to apologize to the ants, tell them he was sorry for destroying their homes. But he told her, he said, listen, Mama, the only way they could understand me is if I became an ant. And then I could speak to them in their own language, and then they would understand. Friend, some time ago, God put on the form of a human baby so that he could grow up and tell us so that we could understand that God loves us. And that God wants to have a growing relationship with every human being. I want you to remember that Jesus is willing to stand still when He passes by. When He comes through, and friends, you won't be able to hear the crowd. You may not be able to see all the great miracles that He's working. But you'll be able to feel Him talk in your heart. You'll be able to understand. And then when He asks you that question, what do you want me to do for you? You'll know, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I want to be yours. I want to leave the world behind and follow you. Friend, that's the greatest decision a man can ever make. And I want to encourage you to follow the Lord. I want to encourage you to leave these things of this world behind and latch on to the Good Shepherd. Will you bow with me for a moment in prayer? Father God, we thank You, dear Lord, for the story of blind Bartimaeus. We thank You, dear God, that one day You stood still and You looked our way. But thank you, dear God, for all the blessings of life. Lord, I want to lift up all those this morning that may be hurting. All those, dear God, that are sick and unable to go, dear Father. And I know spiritually, Lord, they may be on a mountaintop today, but physically, dear God, so often we're found in the valleys. Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, that you told us in your book that yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil because you are with us. And so, God, I just want to thank you today for all the blessings of life. And I want to thank you in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In that name we pray together. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.